From Atlanta, Georgia, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Today on the campus of Clark Atlanta University, we are about to make history for our show. This is our first ever broadcast in front of a live audience. On today's town hall, we'll talk about the youth vote and how people in their teens and 20s are showing up at the polls in record numbers. To kick things off, we've got William Jelani Cobb. He is an associate professor of history at Spelman College. He's also a contributing writer for Essence magazine and the author of The Devil and Dave Chappelle and other essays. Also with us is Lisa Border. She is the president of the Atlanta City Council. Jelani and President Borders, welcome to the show. So I have to say I'm extremely excited. It's fabulous to be doing something in a live format. And Jelani, let me start with you. Many of the people in this audience are students, and we have seen first-time voters and new voters and young voters, and in particular young black voters, come out in record numbers for the primaries. Do you think that interest is going to translate into any kind of a larger movement that engages people in the civic life of America, not just for elections, but on a grassroots level?
I absolutely think that we will see some kind of effect of this 2008 presidential election. One of the things that happened in 1984 and 1988 with Jesse Jackson's historic presidential campaigns was that he did not win the nomination, but the people that he energized and the people he brought into the political process were responsible for a whole new set of black elected officials being swept into office nationwide. And so I think we have a very good chance of seeing that same kind of dynamic repeat itself, and also seeing, hopefully, a broader spectrum of voices in determining kind of where our national politics go and what we emphasize, what we pay attention to.
President Borders, most of us will not hold any kind of elected office. And from your perspective, as someone who has gone from being a citizen to a public servant, what do you want to see from citizens? And what I mean by that is a lot of us complain about politics, but we see it as, you know, maybe you vote every 2 years, even once a year, but still, you have this kind of passing engagement with politics. If you could ask something of your constituents or of younger voters, what would you ask?
Thank you, Farai, and it's great to have you here in Atlanta. Thanks for being with us. If I had to ask my constituents to do anything, it would be to have a sustained sense of involvement, not only in the city of Atlanta, but all across the country. I think in election cycle times, we tend to be extremely focused on particular issues that present themselves. But the truth of the matter is we have issues that present themselves in the city of Atlanta and all across the country every day. Each and every one of us is a leader. My definition is passion turned into action. So I would suggest that each and every one of us has an opportunity to participate every single day, not just during regular election cycles.
Now, Jelani, you actually are playing a couple different roles. I saw that you're running for a delegate position. What is it? I mean, I think we've learned a lot. There are words being thrown out like superdelegate and, you know, earned delegates. What does it mean for you to run to be a delegate?
Well, I'll say that I'm running for a delegate position in the Democratic Party in the 5th District in Atlanta, in Georgia. And the reason that I decided to run was simply because I, like very many of the people who you mentioned, have been quite energized by the process as we've seen. And also, one of the, I guess, ancillary good effects of this election is that we're seeing people become much more knowledgeable about the process. So for the first time, I'm having conversations with people who actually understand what the Electoral College is and understand what the delegates do. The reason that I decided to run was that there was a lot of questioning in terms of how committed people would be to the candidates that they are pledged to. And so I said, well, I'm really concerned about this issue, and I think I'll take President Borders' her idea to heart that passion and action will be combined, and I'll run to make sure that I can represent this issue myself.
Now, President Borders, there's one thing to plug into national politics where you get to see people on TV all the time making the news, but people don't necessarily know as much about what goes on in the city level with the government, education. How can you connect people to the issues, and also frame it in terms of university students, because university students can vote either in the districts they come from, if they come from out of the city or the state, or they can vote where they live. Do you have an opinion on how people should vote?
No, I don't necessarily. I just want everybody to vote. That is the main thing, is to have everyone participating, whether it's in this city or whether it's in their home city. My own son just recently moved to California, and I encouraged him to change his voting precinct and place so that he would be engaged in the process actively there in California. But I would say, overall, what we need to do is make sure that folks understand you can do more than just vote in a cycle. If you are working every day in your community, there are things you can do. And the way I always talk about it, there's four things, four W's: work, witness, wealth, and wisdom. You can add each one of those to your community.
I'm going to stick with you for a second, because your current mayor, Mayor Franklin, was named one of the best mayors in America, and you are possibly going to throw your hat into the ring when she leaves?
I have thrown my hat into the ring.
You've thrown your hat into the ring. What is the urban agenda, particularly for Black communities, in your mind? What has to be dealt with, not just in this city, but across the cities that house so many Black families?
I think from a tactical perspective, we've got affordable housing, we've got poverty, we've got health care, we've got economic improvement in our communities. But from a more comprehensive perspective, I think what we are looking at is having a quality of life that everyone deserves and an opportunity for everyone to be able to support themselves and their families. Our communities are devolving as well as Atlanta is doing. There is probably a 25% poverty rate here. That is absolutely unacceptable. I was raised in a community here in Atlanta that supported its residents. It takes more than a village. It takes all of us recognizing that we are inextricably linked. And so that means raising all boats at the same time. So it is unacceptable to me to have folks in poverty in the city of Atlanta. So my position would be, it's a situation of inclusion, that we should have everybody eating, reading, healthy, and working.
Jelani, there's a situation, a shameful situation, where we just did a story on how only 25% of students eventually graduate high school in Detroit. And the statistics are staggering. You are at Spelman, which is one of these places where people funnel up to the top of the educational system. But what do you think needs to be done overall in terms of education, and what role should government play in that?
Well, I think that I'm glad you asked that question. I think that we need nothing short of a Marshall Plan for our American educational system. For those of us who are familiar, we remember that the Marshall Plan came after World War II and was a comprehensive attempt to rebuild the European economies that had been destroyed by the war. We're looking at a country that has to compete globally, and we are decreasingly capable of doing so, especially when it comes to math and science. And so the kind of standing thing is that if you were a talented mathematician or a science student in India 30 years ago or 40 years ago, the first thing that you applied for was a visa to come to the United States. If you are that same student in 2008, you are thinking of staying exactly where you are. And so this is something that touches not only Black communities, it will touch us most severely, if history is any indicator, but it's something that touches the broader American society as well. And we have to look at these things as American problems. They will not be isolated. They will not be Jim Crowed into Black communities. They simply touch each and every one of us. And I think we need to have a massive investment in improving the infrastructure, the actual facilities where learning takes place, and the outcomes that we hope to get from these institutions.
And President Borders, what about these tough economic times? You know, there's a saying that when white America gets a cold, Black America gets the flu. And there's going to be, there already are massive job losses. How do you tell people to keep the faith through these times? And what kind of advice, not necessarily just political advice, would you give to your constituents?
When we are talking about Black America getting the flu, and I do believe we are in a recession, everyone says we think we're in a recession, but I believe we are absolutely in a recession. But what I would tell people is they've got to retrench. We've got to pull together. It starts with educating our children, quite frankly. The public school systems here in Atlanta have made vast improvements, but making sure that every child can read, making sure that every child is fully prepared, helps us in the longer term. In the shorter term, we've got to redeploy our skills, pull in new ways of doing business. We understand that jobs are going overseas, that economic times are difficult, but it's going to take more than just learning new skills. It takes everybody working together.
Jelani, quickly, what do folks need to do?
Well, start by voting. People need to come out and vote. And in a very real sense, it doesn't necessarily matter who you vote for as long as your voice is registered in the process. Now, of course, I have my own preferences, but that's for another subject for another day. But I think that we need to vote. We need to make sure that we hold people accountable once we have voted. And I think that we each need to find our own little niche where we can contribute and give back to our communities. And in that small kind of way, it may seem abstract and vague, but I think that big change can come out of that.
Well, President Borders and Jelani, I want to thank you so much for kicking off our show. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, Lisa Borders is the president of the Atlanta City Council and CEO of the consulting firm, the LMB Group. She plans on running for mayor of Atlanta in 2009. And William Jelani Cobb is an associate professor of history at Spelman College. Both are here with me at Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia. And you can watch highlights of today's town hall meeting at our website, nprnewsandnotes.org.